Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. As you probably know, there are two barriers that stand in the way of growing your wealth. The first barrier is that it's hard to keep track of your money. Stocks, 401k, bank accounts, all on different sites with different usernames and passwords. Second, you pay someone to manage it all, and you're probably paying too much. Well, now there is a free and secure tool called Personal Capital. Personal Capital brings all your accounts and assets onto one single screen on your computer, phone, or tablet with a real-time and trending look at your wealth. With Personal Capital, you can also see how much you're overpaying in fees and how to reduce those fees. You'll also get tailored advice on optimizing your investments. Signing up takes just a minute, and it'll pay big dividends. Wall Street Journal radio listeners can set up your free account today at personalcapital.com/WSJ. Go to personalcapital.com/WSJ for your free account.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning. America's First News with Gordon Deal.
A pivot in St. Louis County. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Glad you're with us. It is Friday, August 15. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
Relative calm has returned to Ferguson, Missouri, after nearly a week of violent protests following the shooting death of an unarmed teenager. You'll hear what turned the tide.
The U.S. is hoping for a new political path in Iraq now that Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has abruptly resigned.
On a related note, the threat from Islamic State in northern Iraq is growing. How much farther can this terrorist group reach?
And why it might not matter next year if hackers steal your passwords.
There's a working group of giants like Google, MasterCard, PayPal, Samsung, and they're working to kill the password pretty much and come out with a new way for people to figure out if it's actually you or not logging in.
MarketWatch reporter Priya Anand on the new technologies likely to replace the old password. She's here in about 20 minutes. Quite the change in mood in Ferguson, Missouri, after several nights of violence during protests over the police shooting death of an unarmed teenager. Calm returned last night. Earlier in the day, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon put the state highway patrol in charge of security there, removing county police in riot gear. Mr. Nixon tapped a highway patrol captain with ties to the local community to lead the effort. 18-year-old Michael Brown was killed last weekend.
In order for that important process of healing and reconciliation to begin, we need to address some very immediate challenges. That's why today I'm announcing that the Missouri Highway Patrol, under the supervision of Captain Ron Johnson, who grew up in this area, will be directing the team that provides security in Ferguson.
Earlier in the day, President Obama weighed in, saying there's no excuse for violence against police or for law enforcement to use excessive force against peaceful protesters. More now from Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling, who's in Ferguson. He joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Ben, why the change?
The governor's making this change for a number of reasons. It could be that he's looking in from the outside and finally seeing that he's not pleased with the tactics. It could be that he's getting pressure from the federal government, lawmakers in Missouri, from state lawmakers or from federal representatives. I know Senator Claire McCaskill was saying that things had to change. I know that the Attorney General of the United States has said something. Eric Holder has said that the situation needs to be addressed. And there's always a chance that the local law enforcement has asked for some changes. But on Thursday and Wednesday night, on Twitter, on Facebook, and in the media, there was a general perception that the law enforcement here in Ferguson had overstepped some bounds. Whether true or false, that was that's the impression that's been out there.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling in Ferguson, Missouri. What are people pointing to, Ben, when they say that the local police have handled this poorly?
The criticism that the local police have received over the past few days of dealing with the protesters have included, they've fired on the protesters with tear gas, with pepper paintballs, so paintballs filled with powdered pepper spray, and then there's reports of rubber coated munitions being fired at protesters as well. And I know that I've on Monday night. When I was down there, I had tear gas fired at some protesters, and I were standing there. There were some pepper paintballs fired at us as well, and I saw multiple police officers, you know, raising their M4 assault rifles, which are rifles that the Army or Marine Corps would use on deployment to Iraq or Afghanistan. You know, raising these rifles and looking through the optics and looking through the sights at houses, at protesters, and that's an unsettling experience.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling in Ferguson, Missouri. As I've said before, Ben knows his stuff when it comes to weaponry and things like that, especially optics and sights and the uncomfortable feeling they can present because he is a Marine. By the way, the name of the officer who shot Mr. Brown could be released today, according to the St. Louis County Police Chief, though it is not certain that will happen. Police have so far refused to release the name, saying such a step could endanger the officer. Groups in cities across the country marched in solidarity yesterday with those in Ferguson, Missouri. In New York City, hundreds gathered in peaceful protests in several locations. More than 500 protesters marched around Union Square early in the evening, and then a crowd of hundreds then moved uptown, settling in Times Square. Many had their arms up, raised high in the air. Some in the crowds chanted, "Hands up, don't shoot."
Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot.
In Los Angeles, hundreds gathered in Limert Park, many carrying signs saying, "I am Mike Brown." The protest was peaceful with minimal police presence. In downtown Baltimore, about 300 people marched peacefully to the Inner Harbor after stopping at police headquarters and City Hall. A peaceful protest also held in Philadelphia, and there was a vigil and moment of silence at Boston Common, according to local media reports. 12 minutes now after the hour. If you don't have a will, the court may dictate what happens to your property and minor children. Don't let that happen. It's National Make-A-Will Month, so call or visit LegalZoom today for special pricing on wills and living trusts. LegalZoom has been helping people protect their families for over 13 years. They make it painless to get the legal help you need. Don't forget to enter WSJ in the referral box at checkout to save more. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Protect your family and future today at LegalZoom.com.
Being in global sales, I never know where my job will take me. The last thing I need to worry about while traveling is outrageous data charges. That's why I switched to T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business plan. I get unlimited text and data in over 100 countries at no extra charge. No multiple SIM cards or international data plans. I just land, turn on my phone, and it works. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only. Subject to change. Capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobits per second. See T-Mobile.com for details and included destinations.
Thanks for being with us. Good Friday morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by Pro Flowers. Let the woman in your life know you appreciate all she does. It's been 6 months since Valentine's Day, so she's due. And don't just get her a dozen, get her 18. That's right, 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. It's the biggest sale on red roses of the year. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and use the code WSJ to get this amazing offer. And if that's not enough, you can upgrade to 2 dozen plus free chocolates and a premium vase for just $9.99 more. Pro Flowers is quick and easy. And you pick your delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Can't beat the price or convenience. Here's the only way to get this amazing deal for her. 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in WSJ. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. Have police departments become too militarized? You've seen the images of a hulking armored vehicle in Ferguson, Missouri, with local police wearing camouflage, face masks, carrying rifles. Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill is shocked by what she's seen in her home state.
The police response needs to be demilitarized. I think that the police response has become part of the problem as opposed to being part of the solution.
Ferguson isn't the only small town with an MRAP, a mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicle. They're being given away by the U.S. military, which has a surplus of them. More now from Yahoo News reporter Liz Goodwin. Liz, what about this?
One of the more controversial things they've started giving out is MRAPs, which is short for mine-resistant ambush vehicle. They were designed to withstand IEDs in Iraq, so they can, if there was some kind of explosive, they're even better at withstanding them than the old Humvee. And the military made 25,000 of them, and we just don't need all those anymore. So they've been giving them to police departments, very small police departments. The one I profiled is a tiny town of 8,000 in Iowa. So that you see, I think the tank that you see in the photos of Ferguson is actually a Bearcat, which is a different kind of armored vehicle, but they also got the funding for that from the federal government.
So who's saying that this is overkill, right? Because in some of these small towns, you have cops on 20-pound bicycles, and now, you know, they might show up to a situation in, what are these things, 45,000 pounds, these MRAPs?
Yes, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a completely different form of policing. You know, it's in theory, it's used in these SWAT situations, which are they're designed to respond to emergency events. Like, so for example, if there's a school shooter, there's an active shooter situation, you can show up in this vehicle, and in case things get really out of hand, you've got this extra firepower.
Yeah.
There's not that many of those situations, especially in small towns. So what the ACLU found in this report they put out earlier this summer is that most SWAT team raids are for drugs. So it's usually there's a drug warrant, they're searching a house. So the vast majority of the time that the SWAT team would be brought out, and if there's a tank, the tank would be brought out, is to raid homes in search of drugs.
Right.
And then in this case in Ferguson, we're seeing it as sort of a crowd control tactic, like an intimidation, don't mess with us kind of a extra firepower tactic. And what's interesting in Ferguson is they've even put the weapon on top of the little turret of their Bearcat. And you usually don't see that. Like, that's actually just, are we in a war zone kind of an extra next level intimidation tactic.
And so police in Ferguson, Missouri are probably saying, hey, listen, we're getting Molotov cocktails thrown at us. There are accusations or allegations that they're being shot at, as well as throwing stones and all that other stuff. I guess they're thinking is, why wouldn't we have this?
Well, it's interesting. Like, if you talk to police who support this program, they say sometimes we do feel like we're in a war zone. Like, this is a violent world, and sometimes it feels like this is what we need to keep the peace.
Yeah.
I think the people in Ferguson feel like the way that the police look like the military and the way they're approaching the situation as if in this very military style escalates the situation, especially since the protest itself is a protest of police brutality.
Thanks, Liz. Yahoo News reporter Liz Goodwin in New York. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's First News.
Good morning. New protests remained peaceful as Missouri Governor Jay Nixon moved to ease tensions after days of racially charged protest over the police shooting of an unarmed black teen, Michael Brown, in suburban St. Louis.
Ferguson will not be defined as a community that was torn apart by violence, but will be known as a community that pulled together to overcome it.
Brown was killed. African-American Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson, meanwhile, was put in charge of security in Ferguson, where he grew up, and promised a different policing approach after complaints that officers used heavy-handed tactics on demonstrators. Robin Williams was suffering from the early stages of Parkinson's disease, along with severe depression. That's according to his widow. Williams was found dead of apparent suicide in his California home this week at the age of 63. Have you shopped at Super Value this summer? Well, the chain is probing a potential data breach that might have hit more than 1,000 stores. The Journal says it apparently happened between June 22nd and July 17th. For now, it looks like no customer data was stolen. Today, we get an update on consumer sentiment, and it's expected to show a better mood but still be below pre-recession confidence. Stock futures are trending a bit higher this morning after a higher close for Wall Street. The Dow gained about 62 points.
The market continues to do well because we've had a great quarter for corporate profits, and some of the geopolitical concerns appear to be fading away.
Charles Lieberman is with Advisors Capital. The NASDAQ rose 19 points yesterday. The S&P 500 gained 8. Asian markets were higher today. Coke is paying around $2 billion for a stake in energy drink maker Monster. Even though energy drink sales growth has slowed, the industry faces rising regulatory scrutiny. Bud Selig's replacement as baseball commissioner is right-hand man Rob Manfred, who won the owner's vote. Selig steps down in January. And a man looking for fossils finds a woolly mammoth tusk in the same Alaska location where his mom found one 22 years ago. The Dispatch News says Andrew Harrelson found the tusk about 63 miles east of Nome. He was three when he posed for a photo with Mom Luann after she found a tusk fossil.
What? Is that right?
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I guess these tusks can range anywhere from 12,000 to 400,000 years old as far as their age.
Wow. You know, Alaska only has like 45 or so reality TV programs focused on it right now. This would be another one, Tusk Hunters.
Right, and maybe an opportunity to bring back the old Fleetwood Mac song.
Oh, Gina, wow, we're right in our wheelhouse there, huh? With this? 23 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Hey, glad you're with us. As soon as next year, you may not need passwords for anything. MarketWatch reporter Priya Anand has a look at new technologies that could replace the ancient password method. Priya, we're listening.
Well, the hope is that if you have multiple layers, right, it's all about creating multiple layers so that if someone can get past one layer, they can't get past layers two or three if you have different metrics for each one. So let's say you fingerprint into a system. There are some apps right now that companies are using. They've already gotten rid of passwords in some cases where let's say you fingerprint in. The next step is the app will pull up a QR code that you hold up to your computer then. So then you have that extra layer of, you know, it has to be your exact smartphone with the right app on it, and the QR code has to match up with the one that needs to be put into your workstation. So, you know, there are different layers there, and in some cases you could do a facial recognition scan using your smartphone, take a photo of your face, or it'll scan the veins on your eyes. So these are all things that will hopefully get rid of the passwords because, you know, even if you create really strong passwords, someone can hack in and get millions at a time depending on what server they're hacking into.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Priya Anand. So you mentioned before something that would scan the veins in your eyes. Are these unique like fingerprints are?
Yes, they are.
Oh, wow.
And the difference is it's probably a lot harder to get a copy of that than it is of someone's fingerprint mold, right? Or In theory, it is a lot harder. And that's what they're going for, creating biometric authentication. The thing is, to get a password, you know, you hack into a system and you get so many at once. It's a lot more individually targeted if you're trying to get someone's biometrics. It's just not as simple. And the whole goal is to make this harder for hackers to get a lot of good information at one time. So, you know, there are actually companies that are, they have bracelets. This one company called BioNIM has come out with a NIMI bracelet, and it basically monitors your heart activity, which is also unique person to person, so that when you're approaching your laptop, you have to sync it with your laptop first, of course. When you're approaching your laptop or your garage door or your car, it'll unlock those things for you.
Thanks, Priya. That is MarketWatch reporter Priya Anand. By the way, make sure you download the new MarketWatch radio app for more great insight and interviews, now for Apple and Android devices. Again, the new MarketWatch radio network app. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, what we're up against in battling the Islamic State. Our desire to learn doesn't stop after college. That's the motivation behind the Great Courses. These are engaging video and audio lectures from top professors and experts in their fields. The Great Courses offers over 500 topics, including literature, history, art and music, science and philosophy. They also have courses on better living, like Practicing Mindfulness, an Instruction to Meditation. In this fascinating course, award-winning professor Mark Musi teaches the key principles and techniques of meditation through guided exercise to help improve your overall well-being. The Great Courses has been in production for over 20 years. You can watch or listen to The Great Courses with online downloads and streaming via their apps or on DVDs or CDs at your convenience without the pressure of exams. The Great Courses has a special offer for Wall Street Journal listeners. Order Practicing Mindfulness and get 80% off the original price. but this 80% savings is only available for a limited time. Don't wait. Go to thegreatcourses.com/WSJ. That's thegreatcourses.com/WSJ.
Wake up to the Wall Street Journal this morning, now on the WSJ radio app.
Thanks for being with us. Good Friday morning, August 15. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, relative calm returns to Ferguson. Iraq's prime minister abruptly quits. And on a lighter note, what a world traveler recently brought along as a travel companion. That report in about 20 minutes. I told you earlier that Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has stepped down. He's being blamed for not arming the Kurds in northern Iraq so they could defend themselves against the terrorist group Islamic State, a militant organization described 2 days ago by Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel as the most barbaric on earth. What exactly is the world up against when it comes to ISIS or the Islamic State? Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann is a former Green Beret. He's also director and founder of the Stability Institute. He's with us live this morning. Scott, they've taken over a number of areas in Iraq and elsewhere. How far can they go?
Yeah, good morning, Gordon. Thanks for having me on. I think they're, we've continued to underestimate these guys since, from the very beginning. Analysts who I've usually put a lot of stock in have said, well, these guys, they're kind of amateurs. I wouldn't worry about them too much. But yet, what they've been very clear, their intention is to establish the caliphate, and this historic caliphate, and I think they still have a lot of expansion capacity left within them. I mean, they're knocking on the door of Lebanon. I mean, they're certainly prevalent, in Syria and Iraq. So, left unchecked, the potential for expansion with these guys is really there, and you cannot dismiss the ability of these guys to eventually globally project. I mean, we have to consider the threat they represent, not just in regional expansion, but to the homeland.
Speaking of that, you see that video that was released a few days ago, and essentially they called out the U.S. military. What was the reaction of a guy like yourself, a Green Beret?
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you, Gordon, we just did a summit here at Ground Zero at the 9/11 Museum. A bunch of Green Berets, we came together to talk about kind of the way ahead on some things. And I tell you, it really strikes home. And when you stand down here at Ground Zero, and, there was a guy named Osama bin Laden, who not that many years ago put the U.S. on notice. And you know what? We didn't pay a lot of attention. And now, you've got these guys doing this from a declared caliphate, literally calling out the United States and putting the military, putting the nation, putting the White House on notice that they're going to raise a flag. This is not a group of guys that you want to ignore. When threats like that come out, we need to take them serious.
All right, so the role of the U.S. is now what here, Scott? What would you like to see done?
Well, it's at a point now where the Islamic State is going to have to be dealt with, with kinetic operations. These limited airstrikes are not going to get it done. Obviously, yes, we need to arm the Kurds and enable them to stand their ground. But we're going to have to bring the Islamic State. We're going to have to confront them and reduce their capacity.
You mean militarily, right?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely do. However, that's at the surface. I don't think that's enough. Our advisors in Iraq are going to have to be empowered to work with the Iraqi military, but also we're going to have to be able to work with the Sunnis at a grassroots level. A lot of the issues going on, for example, with the Sunnis right now is because they are ostracized from our withdrawal. I mean, these are the very tribal sheikhs that were standing up against al-Qaeda for being too brutal. The way that we withdrew, the way that we disconnected from the Sunnis, the way that the Maliki government treated them, you have these ostracized tribal sheikhs who are now providing comfort and support to the Islamic State. And we're going to have to deal with, on a relationship level, through our advisors, the Sunnis as well. This is going to take some time to sort this out.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann, former Green Beret. He's also director and founder of the Stability Institute. Are we talking, in your opinion here, about a full military operation against Islamic State?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, I certainly not. I'm not advocating a return to, you know, Operation Iraqi Freedom when you have these large counterinsurgency formations of troops going in. I do think there will have to be overt military action, targeted military action against the Islamic State to withdraw their capability or reduce their capability. But that should be done in coordination with the Iraqi government. But, you know, Gordon, we have a way of dealing with these kinds of challenges historically called foreign internal defense, where we have a heavy advisor presence. And over a longer period of time, we work with that host nation and their military to reduce threats from the top down and the bottom up. And we've kind of lost that capability since 9/11. We've gone in favor of these huge military formations where we go in and we just kind of occupy. But there's a way to do this in a hybrid approach where we work with the Iraqi military over time. We reduce the threat through special operations, but we also build up the capacity. If you remember, when we left Iraq, we left no advisors on the ground. So we basically gave up capacity building with the Iraqi army. So we really shouldn't be surprised that this has happened.
How hard do you think Islamic State is working to pull off some terrorist stunt in the U.S. right now?
Well, I think right now their focus is on the caliphate. You know, I think that their energy is on a regional level of establishing and embedding their presence. And if you notice with a group like this, Gordon, what you've got to look at is how are they working locally? What's what they do locally? They work with the tribal sheikhs. They work with the locals. They apply. You know, they look at agriculture issues, dispute resolution. They are embedding themselves locally within the population, within the key population areas, and you can either go along with them or they'll practice tax fury on you and they'll kill you.
Yeah.
But either way, they're going to embed at some point once they establish themselves and they do feel comfortable on how they're established. I do think they'll start to look globally, and we can't afford to not think that way.
Yeah. Scott, thanks for a few minutes. Much appreciated. Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann, director and founder of the Stability Institute. 19 minutes before the hour. Good Friday morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by Experian. When it comes to getting the things you want in life, your credit score can make the difference. But when it comes to understanding your credit, not all websites are equal. With Experian Credit Tracker, you get a real credit report and real people standing by to answer your questions, including a dedicated fraud resolution agent if you fall victim to ID theft. Go to Experian.com now for your credit report and score. And live credit confident from now on with enrollments in Experian Credit Tracker. It's time for our weekly update now on popular searches on Google. We're joined live by Google Trends expert Zaina Aston in her usual spot. Zaina, of course, Robin Williams.
Yes, the news of Robin Williams' death sparked tens of millions of searches. People came to Google to look up the beloved actor's movies, his quotes, and, of course, a number of tributes were put up on social media and online by fellow comedians and personalities. So people were looking those up. And, of course, it was recently revealed that he was struggling with Parkinson's disease as well. So at the moment, we're actually seeing Parkinson's disease trend itself as a search query as people are looking to find out more about what that disease is and what that might have meant for him.
Yeah, a lot of searches, too, surrounding Ferguson, Missouri as well.
Yes, the shooting of Michael Brown by a police officer ignited several nights of protests throughout Ferguson, Missouri, and searches for the city have increased as interest in the investigation rises. You see a lot of people looking for images of the protests, as well as, of course, you know, latest developments in the ongoing investigation by the FBI, as well as the St. Louis County Police.
Yeah. All right, also here on a lighter note, Savannah Guthrie.
Yes, today's show host Savannah Guthrie took a break from morning TV to give birth to her first child, a daughter named Vale. And so people took to search to find images of the beautiful baby girl and to see the congratulations going on Twitter and Facebook. There's a lot out there that's really heartwarming.
All right, and she decided she did release pictures, right? She wasn't hiding the baby or anything.
No, she released pictures, and there are a couple of adorable pictures of little Vale up there. And, of course, she did tweet a picture right afterwards from the hospital with her husband, Mike Feldman.
Makeup or no makeup?
No makeup.
No makeup. Oh, good for her.
Looking remarkably well-rested, having just had a baby.
We're speaking with Google Trends expert Zaina Aston. She's with us live this morning about what's been trending lately on Google. How about this Mariam Mirzakhani?
Yes, Miriam Mirzakhani. I tried to learn how to say that. She's a professor of mathematics at Stanford, and she's been awarded the 2014 Fields Medal, which is regarded as the Nobel Prize of Mathematics. She's the first woman and first Iranian to win the prize. And I found it particularly heartwarming that in winning, she said that she really hopes that her award motivates young girls to pursue STEM subjects. That's the science, technology, engineering, and math subjects. And that she really hopes that this is a way that she can be a role model. And speaking as someone who works at Google, I think that's a wonderful role model to have.
Very good. Zaina, thanks for a few minutes as always. Appreciate it. Google Trends expert Zaina Aston. Her point's a good one, too, about the STEM subjects, right? Science, technology, engineering, math. Get the women involved. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
If you don't have a will, the court may dictate what happens to your property and minor children. Don't let that happen. It's National Make-A-Will Month, so call or visit LegalZoom today for special pricing on wills and living trusts. LegalZoom has been helping people protect their families for over 13 years. They make it painless to get the legal help you need. Don't forget to enter WSJ in the referral box at checkout to save more. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Protect your family and future today at LegalZoom.com.
As the owner of a delivery company, I have to be in constant contact with my drivers, the warehouse, and my customers. Between scheduling appointments, using GPS, and tracking orders on our smartphones and tablets, we were going way over our data limit every month. That's why I switched to T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business Plan. My company gets all the data we need without worrying about unpredictable overage charges. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only, subject to change.
Time now for an automotive update, and it's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. With AutoTrader Alerts, they'll let you know when the price drops on a car you've been searching for. They'll even send you cars that match what you're looking for. Sign up for text alerts at AutoTrader.com. Some new borrowing trends suggest we continue to recover from the recession by getting rid of existing debt and taking on new loans very carefully. Defaults are generally now at low levels. Wall Street Journal reporter Alan Zibel says we displayed a selective willingness to borrow money during the spring.
They took out auto loans at the fastest pace in nearly 8 years, but the number of new home loans fell to the lowest level since 2000.
Growth in auto loans has been most pronounced among riskier borrowers, with lending most prominent among auto finance companies, typically owned by car makers. It's 9 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning today. SeaWorld is expected to say that it's expanding the habitats that house its signature killer whales. The company is locked in a battle with animal rights activists who say that training killer whales and putting them on public display amounts to an inherently cruel act. In cities across the country, groups have been marching in solidarity with those in Ferguson, Missouri, in the wake of the shooting death of unarmed black teen Michael Brown. Marchers hit the streets in New York, Baltimore, L.A. President Barack Obama, from his Martha's Vineyard vacation, addressed the unrest that followed the shooting.
There is never an excuse for violence against police or for those who would use this tragedy as a cover for vandalism or looting.
There are no FDA-approved treatments for Ebola. At the center of a West African health crisis, and the FDA is warning about such claims after receiving complaints about a variety of those offerings on the Internet. Nouri al-Maliki finally bows to pressure and steps down as Iraq's prime minister. That paves the way for a new coalition that world powers hope can stop a Sunni Islamist insurgency. In the Gaza conflict between Israel and Hamas, a five-day truce agreed upon Wednesday was largely intact. Talks resume Monday in Cairo over a longer-term resolution. Stock futures are moving a little bit higher this morning after a higher Wall Street close. The Dow is up about 62, closing at 16,714.
Companies are doing well. The market's not expensive. The Fed is not doing anything new. It's not surprising us. And corporate profits continue to rise, and that serves as a great foundation.
Charles Lieberman with Advisors Capital. Crude oil futures are up about 7 cents this morning at $95.65 a barrel. You might be paying more for your morning glass of OJ, orange juice, or oranges. Futures prices, they jumped after a private forecaster predicted that Florida's going to harvest its smallest orange crop in 50 years. What's going on with our beloved felines? This week, two San Diego County, California women called 911 after being trapped in a room by their cat. A neighbor says Cuppy the cat is a ball of fury. Police say Cuppy later walked out on its own. Something similar happened to an Oregon family not too long ago.
Yeah, little Cuppy? Little Cuppy gone wild, huh?
Those cats can get kind of crazy sometimes. Gordon, you have them at your house, you know.
I have one who could demolish both of my dogs at the same time.
See? There you go.
He's still a lover, though. 6 minutes in front of the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Whether you're traveling for business or leisure, choose Lexington Inns and Hotels for exceptional service, great rates, and a personal touch. Visit LexingtonHotels.com. A man who recently graduated from Harvard decided to go on a trip and see some of the world before moving on. Not uncommon, right? But here's the uniqueness of his trip, according to UPI. Nasir Yassin decided he would make some friends along the way by bringing along a Rubik's Cube. He did a 2-month swing through 11 countries, and he asked strangers there to help him solve it. And he filmed the interaction. He videotaped people in Vietnam, Russia, England, Israel, and Thailand, each making a single move that he had predetermined. When it was all said and done, he had gotten 84 people to do it. He said, "I started solving the cube and using the F2L method. To solve the last layer, I used a 6-step algorithm multiple times to get to the cross, and then a 9-step algorithm for OLL, and finally a 15-step algorithm for PLL. Duh! Don't we all do that?" For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.